fellow Freedom fans, back to talk about something that's in the Florida legislature's proposed bill for the next legislative session, and it's going to be, it's House Bill 165, and it's changing, it looks like it's changing some definitions of what should be, have some sales tax put on it. And so what I'm doing, if you ever go to an act of the legislature, Florida has a practice, much like some other states, of very clearly showing what the new terms are. In Florida, they underline the new information. There's a strikeout line through the things that were there before that they're being proposed to be removed. And so it helps you really understand to see what was there before and to see what's going to be changed. Again, I go to Blackstone, who commented on the laws of England that this nation's laws were based upon. And he challenged those going to the legislature that they were there to avoid, avert, and to check every dangerous innovation, not to rally under party banners or to vote for a popular or unpopular administration, but to avoid, check every dangerous innovation. And one of the things he challenged them, that how can they really know what they're talking about? Unless they know what the old law is, how can they make any determination of what the law should be? At the time, he was talking about the common law and how that the legislature, the parliament at the time, was really messing up a good thing. And so that, of course, if it's not a good thing, it's worthy of changing. But most people that went to the legislature didn't have a clue about what the law was before they went there, and then really wouldn't check into it before they would play with some of the legislation. So this House Bill 165 lists a whole lot of things, including some agricultural things that appear to be, it looks like by reading it, just a cursory check on this thing, that it's going to have a whole bunch of things that are have some sales tax ties to them that didn't before. So if you are in the agricultural business, if you're in renting business, if you're in the livestock business, as I'm just kind of scanning through this, you're going to want to check this thing out. You're going to want to go to a website somewhere, go to the library and look it up and find out about House Bill 165. And because it's going to affect a life near you. May I go to another? So these are just new ones. I'm going from House Bill 155. I talked about 157, 165, talking about sales tax. 167 is deleting exemption from bottled water from sales tax. And so there's some things about that. There's House Bill 197, which is about recreational vehicle parks. An act relating to mobile home and recreational vehicle parks. I think people in this area, now you may not be somebody who's involved in that business, but there's people in this area that are involved in this kind of business, mobile home recreational vehicle parks. Providing definitions, it's talking about permits and if you don't have a permit, that it's a misdemeanor of the second degree. Now it's a criminal offense for not getting certain permits for some, I guess it depends on how long something's going to be sitting on the property and whether or not somebody's actually in the motorhome, recreational vehicle, or mobile home even. So it's House Bill 197 and is talking about some things that are like already on property items and things like that. So there's some requirements for inspections and permits. And so that's something it's affecting legislation that's already there, but it changes the word permit to the word permits. It looks like there's a little bit more regulation going to be kicking in, and you're going to want to be aware of it. Part of our public service, our duty of religion, to love our neighbor as ourself. And that is House Bill, where is that thing? Recreational Vehicle, 197. So far they've got, I think, 219 bills, or let's just say the listing of bills before the House currently goes up to 219. Some of the numbers are actually missing. PSAT for students. This is preliminary SAT. So if you're concerned about the education of your child in the schools, it looks like there's a bill proposing getting rid of the current testing standards and having a mandatory, as I'm scanning through this, in grades 9 through 10, the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test shall not be administered to students in grades 9 through 12. The preliminary SAT National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, that's a PSAT and MNSQT, shall replace the grade 10 FCAT, the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test, for purposes of measuring a student's knowledge and skills in reading, mathematics, and writing. So the PSAT, well, they're getting ready for the SAT, aren't they? So it's supposed to test and give feedback on a student's strengths and weaknesses, and it shall be used as practice in preparation for the SAT reasoning test for students who will take the SAT as a part of college admission process. And the students must earn a passing score on the PSAT and NMSQT in reading, mathematics, and writing to qualify, listen, for a standard high school diploma. Maybe they can get a non-standard high school diploma if they don't pass. State Board of Education shall designate a passing score for each section of the PSAT and NMSQT. That's aligned to the Next Generation Sunshine State standards and demonstrates a proficiency level required for high school graduation. So this is a bill that's proposing to get rid of the Florida. I wonder what the problem was. I wonder if anybody knows what the problem with the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test is. I'd say the advantage of doing a PSAT is that when the SAT, the SAT comes along, you're already good at it. I mean, that's the benefit of taking a certain style of test, but that's something. So if you know anything about the history of the FCAT, Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test, and why it's a catastrophe, then, of course, give us a call at 888-850-1872. Reading the writings of Sir William Blackstone, which I did. You keep hearing from me all the time because that's a history. It's a perspective of law that, again, our founding fathers, the founders of our nation understood. So I go back to that to understand what their perspective was. He mentioned that you don't pass statutes unless there's a problem. You don't mess with the common law unless there's a problem. I'll give you an example of common law that came into play that you guys are probably very familiar with, being on in Hurricane Alley, where I'm from California originally and then Virginia, is I was in Virginia after Hurricane Isabel. And it actually came through with level 3, what do you call that thing? Whatever it is, but it's category 3 floodwaters and flooded a lot of places and took houses off their foundations and everything like that. And the winds themselves, when they hit us, were category 2. It wasn't that bad. But as all the power was out and people would approach intersections, they didn't know what to do. It was chaos. Nobody was loving their neighbor as herself. And I got to tell you, the people from around here just were misbehaving. It was horrible. And what it was is I remember going down to Mississippi in Katrina, and when everybody would come to an intersection where at one time there was a light controlling the intersection, everybody would treat the intersection as a stop sign and then take their turns going across. Some of the major highway intersections, they would sort of slow down as they approached the intersection. And then people trying to cross would either turn right and then later turn left and find a way to get across the main highway. But people knew how to behave. In Virginia, they didn't. There was no common law with regard to how to deal with an intersection when there was no light. So that's one of those things where if there's a problem that people can't abide by the common law, then you write a statute so people know what to do. But if there isn't anything wrong with the statute, you're not supposed to mess with it. If there's nothing wrong with the common law, you're not supposed to mess with it. And what happens is it just creates more chaos. It's just constantly changing. What is it about Americans? I mean, we can't just have the 1955 Bel Air look like the Bel Air for a long time, unless you're the Yellow Cab Company. And then, of course, their 1954 model stuck around for decades. But we've always got to change things. Every year's got to have a new model. Every legislative session's got to have a new model. You got to be doing things. You know what they ought to be doing? doing more lineouts, going to, I don't know, I wonder if they think of this, going to the legislature to get rid of some things they've done before. Create, you know, basically clean up somebody else's mess. Okay, we're going to go to something else. There's a few other things. Okay, deleting exemption from bottled water sales tax. I'm trying to, before I get to the weird ones, child safety seats. There's a proposal, House Bill 217, to increase the years so that there's a child seat safety seat required not just for those under the age of five, but for those under the age of eight. It's coming your way. It's like that in many other states. But there's a proposal right now, House Bill 217, where they're proposing to redefine the term of motor vehicles with regard to child safety seats, and to change the age requirement instead of being under five, is that somebody who's under the year of eight. So it's coming your way. I wonder when they're going to do all the way up to 16, have those big guys in child safety seats. I don't know. So if you care about child safety seats, if you know anything about the statistics on child safety seats, you can give me an email at freedomeagle104@verizon.net. That's freedomeagle104@verizon.net. Enforcement of immigration. I'm going to go there. There's some other things that are going on. Let me tell you what's interesting real quick, just off the top of my head before I go to the immigration item, because that's a, besides all the sales tax and interstate sales tax things that I brought up, there's this kind of disease training proposals for high school. So there's a bill to be entitled An Act Relating to Education in Public Schools Concerning Human Sexuality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is called the Florida Healthy Teens Act, and it's going into, it says, any public school that receives state funding directly or indirectly that provides information, offers programs, et cetera, about family planning, pregnancy, or sexually transmitted infections, including HIV and AIDS, shall provide comprehensive, medically accurate, and factual information that is age appropriate. This is one of those bills that's being spread around the country. It may have been written in Florida, but it may not. Well, they're just basically having, it's an encouragement. I thought all this stuff was already here, but it's this bill that's adding just basically sex education. I mean, that's what it seems like, but it's specifically talking about sexually transmitted disease. You know what it might be? It might be the federal status program generating a statute that is right exactly in line with the national program. And it may be something that's necessary to get funding. I wonder about that. Well, I'm going to have to check out the sponsor. I'm going to write this down. To contact the sponsor to find out what is motivating this. What is not working in the Florida schools? Is this not something that's already being trained in the public schools? This seems just a little bit fishy to me. So why is it here? Why is House Bill 169 here? And what's motivating it? Is it, see, folks, a lot of times people see a federal law and they say, oh, the federal law requires this. It can't require it, folks. But what it can do is say, well, we've got this pot of money. And if you will act like we'd like you to, if you'll conform to the global societal norm, this is the same statute we've got in Germany, then we will give you this federal money. So that may be what's going on. So I'm going to check out House Bill 169, contact the sponsor, and find out, why is this bill here, and how is it different from what is already on the books? Because it's a whole new bill. We come back, we're going to talk about some bills regarding the enforcement of immigration in Florida. House Bill 219, when we come back, here on the Freedom 104.3 FM. You can give us a call at 888-850-1872. Check us out on the web,